But first, let's get to the state of the state. It was delivered today at the Rotunda in Springfield. Governor Rauner laid out his goals for next year, which also is a re-election year. Bipartisanship, pro-business, and accomplishments of his last year made up for the 45-minute speech. But what was there? What wasn't? Amanda Vinicky is a political reporter for WTTW Channel 11, and she joins me now. Amanda, thanks for joining us. We appreciate it.
No problem. Still in the Capitol, Justin.
Hey, so all right.
Really fresh.
Oh, geez. I was going to say, get on the road. It's going to hit later.
Not yet. Wish I could be listening to you for entertainment as I drove.
Oh, there you go. This speech obviously was about bipartisanship, working together to give the people of Illinois what they want. But it was met with skepticism. Was bipartisanship the takeaway from the speech? What did you think?
The governor certainly wanted that to be the takeaway. He went out of his way to talk about collaboration, working together, bipartisanship, all of those words. And truly, what he didn't pepper throughout the speech was what is some of the kind of vitriol, I guess you could phrase it, as we heard from him before, really, and when he naysays the state of Illinois, which he says could be great, but isn't. And often he says that is because of a failed political leadership and a corrupt system that he believes is entrenched for the insiders. And then there aren't any sort of the changes or laws that would help Illinois to thrive economically. A lot of what he wants to do along those lines is antithetical to Democrats and to their base of labor unions. But again, we really didn't hear too much about that in this particular speech. He chose to reflect instead. It is Illinois' bicentennial, so happy 200th birthday, Illinois. And he reflected often on all of the state's accomplishments and says, you know, we can do more with that. And he laid out his agenda. But again, that agenda was not very strong in terms of actual details. Kind of makes sense at the speech. You want it to be entertaining, but certainly glossed over any of the truly controversial elements of what he wants to do.
And my favorite part of the speech is when he said in a couple of weeks he's going to give a balance, he's going to present a balanced budget, and the Democrats all stood and in a way mock cheered because of what's happened over the last 3 years where budgets have not been submitted, or at least unbalanced budgets have come forward. And he had a response that was funny where he said, well, I'll support it. Hopefully you won't ignore it this time. There was a lot of tongue-in-cheek kind of ribbing each other from both parties.
You could feel a little bit of the tension, and I'm not sure if the tension lifted. I think it did temporarily, but then it came right on back because truly, while this speech is interesting, it gives the governor, as you noted, up for re-election and very vulnerable as he attempts to win a second term. It gives him a platform. He did play it safe. I had described it as cautious. He's not like Trump, who, of course, gave a State of the Union address yesterday. Unlike the president, the governor is not a showman. Yeah. You know, he reads from the teleprompter. You don't get a ton of applause. Unlike President Trump, he did not have a lot of uproar.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Really, from the Republican side of the aisle. And, well, don't be surprised, because that's exactly why he has himself a primary challenge. A lot of the conservatives who had originally been, I would say, even scared of him, because Rauner was going to have all this money to convince them to stick with him, and otherwise he would fund opponents. That's broken off. You've got this sort of inter-party GOP schism. But Justin, to get back to that point, really, in terms of the speech, that was notable because it was as if everybody in that room was being real for a moment there. And the Democrats, who hadn't clapped really throughout the speech other than the points where you have to, like when you're thanking veterans, the rest of the time, even when the governor talked about, for example, a new measure that he says is supposed to help with allegations of sexual harassment, you didn't see clapping even for stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that moment where it was balanced budget, the way that I took it was Democrats saying, one of them I literally heard say, really?
Yeah.
And then the rest of it was, they didn't cheer just once. I mean, they got up, some people sat down and kept that cheering going. It was almost like, finally, / we don't believe you.
You know, I mentioned at the top of the show, you know, the arguments, the pro-business arguments, and even the pension reform and the issues that, that really Governor Rauner ran on to start his tenure and really fought for over the 3 years of stalemate, they've lost a little bit of wind in their sails. There isn't seem to be, as you just mentioned, I mean, they're clapping when he's talking about pension reform or applause when he's talking about pro-business and all the things. And even Speaker Madigan coming out today saying maybe he should stay on the sidelines and pretend that he's not the leader and let the real legislation, the real lawmakers take care of it. There really is this feel that he's losing that debate.
You know, I would say that there's a lot on that front. Part of it, the governor, some would say, made missteps in trying to bring out all of those very controversial plans when he first came into office. You need to establish relationships first. Don't try to do these measures, particularly the anti-union ones that don't really have a chance in Illinois, particularly given that he may now be getting his way. There are a pair of U.S. Supreme right. Court cases that Rauner says, hey, just you wait. If you reelect me and those are in place, obviously we don't know what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to do, but given just the makeup of the bench, there is a likelihood that Rauner will have his way there. It will get his way. He says then he'll be able to do more. So drop trying to get it through the General Assembly because it probably wasn't going to happen anyway.
Yeah, right.
Because Democrats are in charge. So that's part of it. I think there is also frustration with those who support the governor that it hasn't been done in 3 years and they're asking what's going to change. But then frustration right back. I mean, let's be clear. When there is criticism of the governor for not being able to accomplish things, the reason that he hasn't, and again, some people are quite happy about this, but supporters of Democrats, particularly supporters of Speaker Michael Madigan, have him to thank for it. Yeah. It is quite true that the speaker has stunted the governor's bills, his plans. There were some glimpses of hope for agreement back a year ago with the grand bargain talk, and then the governor never agreed to it. You heard Senate President Cullerton today say emphatically in no certain terms that the governor is not capable of making a deal. I think really, my take would be plenty of blame, of course, to go around in terms of why Illinois is in the state that it is in.
Absolutely.
And clearly obviously, voters are going to have a chance to decide at the ballot.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And obviously the governor is on the stage so people can talk about him.
And but he's the governor.
But the Democrats, of course, in the two chambers own some of the blame, too. I'm interested in what the tenor is, what the feel is in Springfield. I mean, as they get back to work, is this going to be a lame duck year? Is this the kind of thing where each party is going to try to make the other party look bad to try and gain in the polls, gain picking up seats and inevitably the big ticket seats like governor and attorney general?
Yeah, get back to work might be a little strong, Justin. truthfully, actually, the legislative session is really just getting underway. Yesterday was the first meeting of the General Assembly this year. So it's early to say what is going to happen. You did already have some movement, however. The House and Senate both quickly overriding the governor's veto. That gets into some complicated stuff in terms of education and this rollout of a new education funding proposal and getting more money to schools that, frankly, need it the most. But what I do think that it is clear that what happens this year, there is going to be political gamesmanship played. Yeah. Some of that will be making the other party look bad and preventing the party's agenda from advancing. Other elements will be, sure, trying to pass measures that will make particularly legislators that have tough races ahead of them look good.
Yeah, so that's true. That'd be nice.
You'll also see some of that happening. But the big question is going to be, will Illinois get a budget? To me, everybody looks bad if the state once again resorts to that. If Illinois waits for a new governor or perhaps the return of Governor Bruce Rauner, but he would no longer be in this status of limbo and running for reelection. If they wait for that, that would be a pox on the entire House and Senate and executive branch.
I thought it was interesting today that, and I know it's political because there's a re-election campaign and a campaign even in the Republican primary, but Jeannie Ives, a state representative, coming out and saying, yes, there, when we talk about bipartisanship, the governor even has trouble bringing his own party together. She mentioned some things, but she talked about this concept that it's not as we used to know it, where it was bipartisan meant Democrat and Republican. In her case, she's talking about the Republican, that Governor Rauner is not the right choice to lead. When you talk to lawmakers down, and you kind of mentioned it before about they're feeling a little bit more powerful, maybe they're not applauding where they used to because of, out of fear. Is there a noticeable divide when it comes to the Republican Party in Springfield?
You know, I asked House Republican Leader Jim Durkin, because obviously Representative Ives is in his caucus, whether there is a schism that he can feel. And he said, no, we are all united. And in a way, I'm sure these are personal relationships. But I would say, yes, you can sense that. I tried to look over at Representative Ives during the speech. And let's be clear, for the most part, she didn't clap for nothing. Even some of the elements that you would think she would agree with. Of course, yes, this is political in nature, and you do have a true divide within the Republican ranks, period. Most of that isn't over, say, pensions, however. It is a lot of Republicans who are frustrated with how the budget and tax vote shook out, be it Republicans who are upset that now there is a tax increase in place, and they say the governor didn't work too hard, that's Ives saying didn't work hard enough to prevent that from happening, or Republicans who in fact helped Democrats to pass that income tax increase and are frustrated that the governor didn't either do more to protect them or get a budget earlier before it came to that point in time. So I think that there is a lot of frustration. A lot of that, however, really isn't about the economic plans. You have the conservatives, and what they're most angry about is the governor's signing of, quote, HB 40, and that is the abortion bill that allows that requires taxpayers to fund abortions for state employees and for low-income individuals who are on Medicaid. That, by and large, is at the root of this rift, and there does not appear to be any sort of repair. So when you hear Ives say there isn't any trust, it stems from that.
When is the budget address? Is it coming up here in early February?
Valentine's Day.
Valentine's, what a day. What a perfect day to do the budget address, Valentine's Day.
I know. Lots of love.
Lots of love. And, of course, let the games begin. Amanda Vinicky covers that's right. Covers politics for WTTW Channel 11 here in Chicago, and has covered Illinois, Springfield for many years. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Justin.